Go ahead and open up for me to two places, Mark 16, John 14. Some of the same thoughts from this morning. Just keep reflecting on that. Growing up in church my whole life, I heard a lot of good messages by well-meaning preachers. You know, and if I was to condense them down, I could say, you know, one of those might have been, Gary, you need to walk in more love. You know, and I would go, thank you. I appreciate that, you know. However, I knew that before I heard your message. Or one of them might say, you know, you need to have more faith. That's it. You need to have more faith. Thank you. Thank you. I think I pretty much knew that before I came. You know, Gary, your thinking is all messed up. You've got wrong thinking, and you just need to renew your mind. You need to change the way you think. Thank you. I pretty much knew that, too, before I heard your message today, you know. But the one thing that nobody ever could tell me, or that at least I never heard before I got here, none of them could ever tell me how. Now, you know, they would preach all kinds of good sermons, and I'm not saying, and I know they had good intentions, but not any of them could tell me the how. Till we started coming to this church. And Pastor Dave really introduced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The one that's been sent to be our helper, our teacher, our guide, the standby, you know, all of those things. He is ever present with us. And we didn't know, and the whole church still, for the most part, does not know that they have a direct access to God as their teacher. And God made it so simple. First, He gave us His written word, but He didn't just give us a book. He gave us a book and a teacher. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. So I just want to say again how thankful I am. And I would even hear, you know, they didn't deny the miracles, not all of them in the churches I grew up in. But boy, not trying to be nice. I never saw any miracles, really. You know, and they would say, Lord, they would pray for healing. But it was always, if it be thy will. And nobody could ever know. It's like, you know, you could never know. I just want to say I thank God again for this church. I want to thank God for all those years that Pastor Dave laid down his life in prayer and fasting and meditation to show us that there is a way. If you really want to know, if you want to know more about God, if you want to know more of God, if you want to become more intimate with Him, we are not left orphans. In fact, it's one of the verses we're going to look at again tonight. We have not been left orphans. He is with us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right, if you haven't found Mark 16 by now, just look on with your neighbor. And I'm going to reemphasize just a little bit. The verse I'm after is right here at the end, but let's back up to 14, Mark 16, 14. Because to me it's so important that it mentions the 11 here every time. Afterward He appeared unto the 11. As He sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, now this is to the 11, right? He said unto the 11, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So their job, the initial 11, was to go preach. But then He switches it to the hearers of that preaching. There's going to be people that hear the preaching. Some are going to believe. Some are not going to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now see, you could chisel those words in stone, verses 15 and 16. Over the denominational doors of the churches I grew up in. That part they believe. That we're supposed to preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized is saved. And he that believes not is damned. But boy, you'll never get them to agree to the next two verses. But in my Bible, verse 17 starts with an and. When there's an and, that means he's not through talking yet. Now, he told the 11, I want you to go preach. But there's going to be people that hear the preaching. Some are going to believe, some are not going to believe. Now, those that believe will be saved. And those that believe, these signs shall follow them that believe. This is not just talking about the 11. This is talking about those that hear the preaching and believe the preaching. Then the signs are going to follow them that believe. Hello, believers. This is us. This is those that hear the gospel. The problem is, most of the church world has not really heard the gospel. Not really. Yes, sir. Okay. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Who will cast them out? The 11 or the believers? Thank you. The believers. Well, and the 11. My point is, he's talking about the believers, the ones that hear the gospel and believe the gospel. Those believers in my name, they shall cast out devils. So say it with me. I cast out devils. I'm a believer. I've heard the gospel. And I believe it. I have authority over all devils. And in the name of Jesus, I cast them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? They shall speak with new tongues. Now see, in this church, that's no big thing. A lot of churches the churches I grew up in, this is radical, radical, radical. Run you out of town on a rail, boy. I don't care if the words are in red in their Bible. You know? Thank God in this church we're okay with that. We shall speak with new tongues. So thank God for that. Amen. Now here, he's not talking about snake handling in a church in Kentucky. Nowhere in Scripture do you find anybody doing anything like that, where they just handle snakes for no reason. They shall take up serpents. No. The example we have is like what happened with Paul on that island where he went preaching. And they were gathering up firewood to put on the fire, and a venomous snake come out and bit him on the hand. And apparently that one was really poisonous. Apparently if that one bit you, you died. Because the islanders there, they're going, well, this guy must be a murderer because God's judged him. He's surely going to die. But Paul, he just shook it off in the fire. This reminds me of John G. Lake. And that the plague was in South Africa. And they couldn't even bury the corpses because people would get that germs on them, and then they'd get it and they'd die. But John G. Lake and his bunch, they just go bury them and bury them and bury them, and none of them ever got sick. And they're going, how is that happening? That's not possible. How is it possible that you can do that and not die? He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And they had him take some of that froth and put it on his skin and examined it under some whatever microscope or thing they had at the time. And they watched. As soon as that teeming bacteria, whatever it was, as soon as it touched his skin, it died. Well, if you're a believer, say, I am a believer. If the devil tries to attack you with a venomous serpent, okay, like he tried to attack Paul, okay, you can shake that thing off in the fire. It will not hurt you. That does not mean he has authorized you to go to a service somewhere in Kentucky and get into, or anywhere else, and get into spiritual pride, saying, I can handle rattlesnakes and they won't bite me. We'll do our best to raise you from the dead. There is no promise for that. You know, there's no promise for that. It didn't say be stupid and go handle snakes to show off your spiritual pride, ignorance. Okay. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Same thing. If the enemy tries to poison you by accident or on purpose through persecution, did you know you have the right? You have the word. Is these words read in your Bible? They're read in my Bible. All authority has been given unto him both in heaven and earth. I think that includes poison. And if he says if they try and kill you with poison, it shall not hurt you, then bless God, it shall not hurt you. You know? But now for us, he's now switching it back again. These are the 11 were called to go preach. There was going to be people that heard the preaching. Some would believe, some would not. But for those that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall recover. Now we're sitting here preaching, and in the audience is someone that I love very much who lost her husband a couple of years ago now. We prayed, we fasted, he prayed, everybody prayed, fasted, confessed. I just got back from another funeral last week or so, another one, that everybody did everything that we knew to do, and still they went on to heaven. Gary, do you have the answers for that? No, I do not. I do not have the answers for that. That's why we're still praying the mysteries. Amen? But I do know I am not going to let circumstances change what I believe about the Word of God. I'm not going to take circumstances and change the Word of God to fit the circumstances. We're going to keep with the Word of God, and eventually we are going to change these circumstances every single time. Amen? God's Word is truth. And I don't care how many. Now see, the way I look at it, I see when we lose one like that, to me, that's a casualty of war. It's not failure. It's a casualty of war. We're not there yet. We're pressing towards that mark, you know? And in any warfare I've ever heard of, there's casualties along the way. Well, hey, we ought to put up a monument. And glory to God for their stand and their fight. But boy, the day's going to come, we're going to run cancer off like a scalded dog. And I mean everything. Not just cancer, all of it. My Bible still says that His name is above every name that is named, and I'm going to preach it as long as I have breath, and I don't care how many appear to the contrary. The Word of God does not change. Amen. But it hurts. It doesn't get me wrong. It hurts when we lose people that we love like that. But bless God, that's no reason to quit. That's a reason to press in harder than ever before. Let's get this. All right. Now, we still haven't got to the verse I'm after. That's good preaching along the way, wasn't it? I'm after verse 20. So verse 19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, this morning I read out of three passages, didn't I? Remember? Luke, Matthew, and Mark, the last things that the Lord said. One of them is where he appeared, and he says, touch me, handle me. A spirit hath not, notice how he said it, flesh and bones. You notice he didn't say blood? I could teach right there, but I'm not going to today. But flesh and bone. And it dawned on me, he'd already been to heaven now. See, because when he first came out of the tomb, he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended, you know. But now he's saying, oh, touch me, go ahead, handle me. Put your hand in the place in my hand and where the spirit was in my side. And it says, he even ate fish with them. And I love that. You know, he walks through the wall, eats a fish, walks back through the wall, and the fish doesn't slide down the wall. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works. But it just tickles me. But what amazes me is when I realize, and it says right here that he ascended, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. You remember in John 17, at one point, he says, glorify me with that glory that I had with thee before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of creation was made by him. He was there before there was anything. And now he's there again, taking his seat again. Can I say it that way? But this time he came back with flesh and bone. Yeah, me too. Somebody went, wow. I keep thinking about that. The Creator. Everything was made by Him. And yet this glorified body that He has now, it's not flesh like we have. It's not sinful flesh. But it is some kind of, it's some kind of flesh. Spiritual flesh, I don't know what it is. And bone. Isn't that something? So the Creator that's been there forever, that is and was God, came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then eventually here, he goes back, he takes his seat again at the right hand of God. But when he sits down, he's not the same form that he was before. How much did he identify with us? See, we've got a glorified man, if you'll allow me. A glorified man, God, God, man, interceding for us at the right hand of God. I remember thinking of Stephen right now as they were stoning him to death. It's because it says he's seated. Sat on the right hand of God. Didn't it say it right there? But when they were stoning Stephen to death, and after he'd preached that eloquent message, and he realizes this is it, you know, I'm about to go to heaven, he says, I see the heavens open. And I see the Son of Man standing. He wasn't sitting, boy. I mean, Stephen had the Lord's full attention. Whew. God, I like it. Don't think he is not aware of what you're going through. Don't think he's not with you in your times of trouble. Boy, I mean, he had the Lord's full attention. He was standing. So verse 20, they did what he told, what Jesus told them. It says they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, this sentence, this part of it has just so come, I mean, consumed with this phrase right now. And it's been in my Bible the whole time, but this is the season we're entering now. The year of power. The Lord working with them. I read it the way it's printed. The Lord working with them. Say it with me. The Lord working with them. Confirming. No, you don't have to keep saying it. The Lord working with them and confirming the word. With signs following. I do too. So I like that. I do too. The Lord. And actually the word them there, it's okay. I understand why they put it there. It makes sense to have it there. But in the Greek, it's not really there. So you could say it this way. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Now see, God cannot lie. Scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. Well, here we have the perfect illustration of that. So today, as I was thinking about this morning's service, keeping that in mind, I don't know if we're coming back there or not, probably not. Let's look at it one more time. They went forth and preached everywhere. Now, what are they preaching? We looked at all three in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He said, I want you to go and preach the gospel, the same gospel that I preach to you, I want you to go preach it to the Jew and the Gentile. I want you to go preach it to the nations. And he says, you teach them everything that I commanded you. In other words, don't come up with your own stuff. Don't change what I taught. You teach them what I taught you. And I'm going to go ahead and say it again in case somebody hears this message that did not hear this morning's message. Beware radical grace teachers or anybody else who says that the teachings of Jesus are not for the church today. That is heresy to the 10th power, and I don't care how big your church is, and I don't care how many TV stations you're on. That is heresy. That is not what Jesus said. He said, you go and teach what I commanded you. He did not say, go and teach a different gospel of grace that I'm going to send Paul to give you. Paul would roll over in, if it's possible, he would roll over in his grave for somebody to say that Paul was preaching a different gospel than what Jesus taught. For crying out loud, there is one gospel, and Jesus is the one that brought it to us. That's why he is called the Word. He is exactly the Word. He didn't add anything to it. He didn't take anything away from it. He brought us, and not only by word, but by demonstration, the Word of God. He is the Word. You want to see the Father? Look at me. I am the Word. In every sense of the word, he is the Word. Okay? So they went forth and preached. Now notice the Lord working with them. Or say it this way, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. All right, now go over to John 14 for a moment. This is our launching pad for the prayer center. When Sue and I came 23 years ago or so, the summer of 1992, and Dave was preaching hot and heavy on praying in other tongues, and one of the verses that one of my favorite verses in the Bible was this one, John 14, verse 12. But nobody could ever make it work, you know. Not consistently. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now, what did we just read over there? I want you to go preach the gospel. He that believes in my name, they're going to do all these things, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, here he says, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me," here we go again, you got to believe it, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father." But now notice verses 13 and 14. Over in Mark that we just looked at, it says, "The Lord working with and confirming the word." Here it says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." That will who do? That will I do. Notice his active involvement here. That word "ask" is not the best translation now. I love the King James too. But this word here is better said "demand." It's like when Peter would give the command to the cripple. He walked up to that man at the gate, beautiful. "Stand up on thy feet," you know, "stand upright on thy feet," and grabbed him and just raised him up. It's like a demand like that in the name of acting on the authority that we have been given in the name of Jesus. And he just acted on it and said, "Stand upright on thy feet." Who was it that confirmed that word? Was it Peter? Was it his holiness? He was the Lord himself working with and confirming the word with signs following. See? So he says, whatever you demand, whatever you command, based on the authority I have given you in my name. See, in my name. It's ambassadors go forward in the name of the country that they're from. They don't go forward in their own name. They go forward based on the authority of the country or the king that they're from. Well, we're here from heaven. This is not really our home, but we have been given authority from heaven to exercise authority and power here in his name. And he says, whatever you demand, whatever you command in my name, I'll do it. You don't have to do it. He says, I'll do it. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. That's why Peter said, "It's not. Why are you looking on me? It's not by my holiness. It's not by my power. It's that name." What he means is that authority, that name that's above every name, and faith in that name that makes this man whole. The Lord worked with him. Say, "The Lord worked with him." Let's say it again. The Lord worked with Peter. And we love Peter. Because Peter wasn't perfect. If the Lord worked with Peter, he can work with me. He confirms the word. He confirms when I speak in the name. The Lord said he would do it. And he will do it. Hallelujah. And as if we didn't get it, see verse 13, like, you know, once isn't enough. Look at verse 14. He says it again. How often is this? Two consecutive verses. Let's read them together. Verse 13. "Whatsoever you shall ask or demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask, demand anything in my name, I will do it." And suddenly this is connected up with me with Mark 16. And there's something going on. It's setting me so free from myself. It's not Gary. And I want to walk right. Don't you all want to walk more holy and more right? I mean, I know we're already righteous and holy. Don't send me no letters. I mean, I know. But I want to walk that way. Paul said, "You are children of light. Now walk as children of light." Okay, fine. But it's not even, I don't care if I walk squeaky clean, perfect. It's still not me doing the works. It's Christ in me. It is the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. His ministry didn't end at his crucifixion and resurrection. His ministry has been expanded through the resurrection because now he continues his work through millions of believers worldwide. I like that. Don't you like that? Let's get a little more detail. Go over to, you're in John, go over to 17. This is the year of power, people. This is the year of power. You're going to be surprised what the Lord is going to do through your hands. No, not me. Through your hands. We're going to get a revelation. It's the Lord doing the works. It's the Lord confirming His word with signs following. We have a great Savior. I've been listening. There are, as far as I know, there are no audio recordings of Smith Wigglesworth, but I have an audio book from his book called Ever Increasing Faith. And I've been listening to it over and over again, you know, and it's not really Smith's voice, but somebody's trying to imitate Smith, okay? And it kind of wears you out because everyone knows that Smith was very brusque, you know. And so the whole book, 10 hours, it goes, and I'm telling you, the Lord, you know, you kind of wore out after you listened to it. But I've been listening to it over and over because this man, he found it. It worked through him. I mean, the miracles are just astounding that you read about this guy. And he wasn't perfect either. You can read about a period of time where he backslid. What? Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. Gives me hope. Even Smith wasn't perfect, you know. But he came back to the Lord. Thank God, so did I. Thank God, so did you somewhere along the line. You know? But Smith, he'll say, his focus is not on, I mean, he wants to be, if anybody I ever read after wants more purity and more righteousness and more holiness, it's Smith Wigglesworth. But his emphasis is always, we have a great Savior. We have a great Lord. We have a name that's above every name that's named. Jesus will do it. Jesus will save you. Jesus will heal you. And He'll do it today. Glory to God. We're headed into that, see. But it's the Lord doing it. It's still the Lord. It was the Lord then. It's the Lord now. But He's doing it through many vessels and not just the one that He's walking in. That was okay. Are you finding John 17? Man, it's really hard for me to start in the middle of this chapter. I love this chapter. So let's start in verse 14. It says, I have given them thy word. See? What if I put gospel right there? I have given them thy gospel. I have given them thy word. In other words, I didn't add to it. I didn't take away from it. I didn't change it. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now get this. They, and he's talking about you, the believers, they are not of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Boy, I'm thinking of Smith Wigglesworth, that time that Lester Summerall came and he was all dressed up and he'd lived in England long enough. He looked English at the time. And he says, I had on a kind of a raincoat thing and a bowler hat. And I had a little cane that I carried on my arm and an umbrella. And I had a newspaper under my arm. And I was all dressed up to go meet Smith Wigglesworth and knocked on the door. And Smith answered. And the only thing he saw was that newspaper under my arm. He says, you can't bring that in my house. Only truth is allowed in my house. And that thing there is full of lies. And it was just a newspaper. But see, Smith was so concerned about the truth and only living the truth, only wanting to think the truth. He wouldn't let even a newspaper, not something that we would call seductive or sensual, but a newspaper. Because he said, that's not truth. Leave it outside. Boy, sanctify them, set them apart from the world. What if I said, renew their minds through thy truth? Thy word is truth. How do you get sanctified? How do you think different from the world? Thy word. Thy word is truth. As that, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Well, why did God send him into the world? To seek and to save that which was lost, and to go about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he says he sent us the same way that God sent him. We're on the same mission as him. It's really him still seeking the lost through us. It's still him healing the sick through us. It's still the Lord confirming his word with signs following. Amen. And he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, neither pray I for these alone. In other words, just those that were there that day. But for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. He is praying for us as much as he was praying for them there. That they all may be one. Remember how he would say, I and my Father are one. I don't know how much horizontal unity there will ever be between all the denominations. I just don't know about that. That's for bigger people than me. But he's not talking about horizontal unity anyway. He's talking about a vertical unity between you and God. He really details it here in a minute. When he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Can you see a vertical unity there? That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Listen, the world doesn't believe right now. The world thinks Christians are just nuts, powerless, flaky, bigoted, haters, religious, fanatic, nuts. Is that okay? You know what I'm... Don't they? For the most part. Because we haven't shown them anything. We talk a good game, but we don't show them anything. In Texas, they say, all hat and no cattle. All talk and no fruit, no works, you know. But he's saying, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now that glory, as Dave has so eloquently taught us on the Born Again Trail, y'all, everyone knows, what is that glory that he gave us? It is the standing of sonship. He has put us in that same standing, made us joint heirs with him, see? That they may be one, even as we are one. He's still talking about that vertical union, replicating what was in him in us. Now, here it is. I in them, and thou in me. No wonder we're called the temple of God. No wonder we're called God's temple. Christ in us. But at that same moment, the Father in him. And in your little vessel, you are called the temple of God. Individually and collectively, we are the temple of God. See, that oneness he's talking about is a vertical oneness. It's wherever you go, God goes. You are the temple of God with legs. Where you go, God goes. And there's nothing impossible. We've got to get that. There is nothing impossible, because if God is in you, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. I in them and thou in me. I feel like one of those little Russian dolls. You ever see one of those little Russian dolls? Where you open up that doll and there's another doll inside. You open up that doll and there's another doll. Well, if you open you up, there's Christ. If you could open him up, there's the Father. And it's all been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So you got the Trinity on the inside of you. Now, what's not possible? what's not possible now. See, that's what we've got to think like that. Sanctify them. Help them not think like the world. Well, how would we do that? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the truth. And all your circumstances are not. This is exactly Mark 4. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, persecutions, afflictions, the flat tires, the kid troubles, the rent troubles, the roof leaks, everything in this world is designed to make you think you're just another powerless person. But God says, sanctify them through that truth. They're a different people. Set them apart where they don't think like the world, they don't act like the world, and they don't have the results that the world has. How does that happen? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the renewing of the mind. Okay. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect. And really a better word there is complete. That they may be made complete in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Boy, the world needs to know that. Now, this is really it's going to take all your faith to believe this next part. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Over in 1 John, I can't turn exactly to the verse, but it says, I remember the day this one went off in me. It says, we have known and believed the love that the Father has toward us. See, for years I known it. I had heard about it. I could teach about it. I could write letters about it. I have known. But see, it doesn't say just we have known. We have known and believed. You got to believe this right here. That He loves you. Is it not in red letters in your Bible? The world needs to know that the Father has sent Christ. And that the Father loves them, the believers, as thou hast loved me. Man. We're going to get this. This is the year of power. Our mind is going to, I prophesy, is going to be renewed. Sanctified. That word sanctify means set apart. Make different. We're not going to think like religion thinks. We're not going to think like the world thinks. We're going to think like He thinks. That's called the mind of Christ. And cancer and every other disease is going to run like a scalded dog. I'm tired of losing them. He's tired of us losing them. And not only that, though, the world needs to see this living Christ. See, the world, you know what? I don't even know anymore where he's going to have me teach at the conference. I keep thinking, okay, I'm going to teach this at the conference. Then he has me teach it before the conference. See, what is that word? The Lord working with and confirming the word. Well, the word's big, you know. I started going through Acts again. What did they preach everywhere they went? The first thing they taught, He is risen. He's not dead. He is alive. And God has made Him Lord and Christ. He is both Lord and Savior. In Him there is remission of sins and power over all the power of the enemy. They would go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what he said earlier when I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. He reminded me again. He's good like that. Go to Acts 14. I'll close here. It's a perfect example. Perfect. And you got to understand, Acts 14 is in Lystra. This is Paul preaching. Let's see. Yep. This is Paul preaching at Lystra. Okay. Lystra was an absolute pagan city where they worshipped Jupiter. Okay. They worship Jupiter and Mercury. And to be honest with you, even Diana over at Ephesus, the temple to Diana, is part of that same cult, same pagan, quote, little g gods. Okay? These are pagans. They wouldn't know the law from come here or sick them. They don't know anything about the law at all. So here comes Paul. And notice in verse 6, so you'll know where they were. So they were aware of it, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. What's he preaching? Could you say he's preaching the word? All right. There they preached the gospel. So Paul is preaching. Now notice, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. Notice, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Say with me, birth defect. This is more than a disease. This is more than a sickness. This is a birth defect. Okay? This guy has never walked. I was paralyzed when I was 5 years old with polio on my right side for 6 months, and the atrophy that happened in just 6 months. My left leg compared to my right leg, you can hardly tell it was the same person, just in 6 months. This guy was born this way. He's a full-grown adult. He's never walked. It tells you he has never walked. What do you think his little bird legs look like? Bird legs. You know, little bird legs, right? But now notice, Paul is preaching the gospel in a pagan city that doesn't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the law. They know about Jupiter, okay? Not the planet. Anyway. Now this guy who's a cripple, the same heard Paul speak. But what is Paul speaking? The gospel. And he's hearing what Paul is saying. I wish it was recorded what Paul said. But we can infer what Paul said because he's listening. This guy who was born crippled. Now don't tell me you can grow up your whole life, never walk, and not have strongholds in your mind. You're pretty well convinced you're never going to walk. Yet, he's listening. Whatever it is Paul is saying is putting faith in this guy. I bet Paul is saying like Smith, we have a great Savior. His name is Jesus. He's been risen from the dead. God has exalted him above every name that is named. I don't know exactly what Paul said, but it had to be along that line because Paul is speaking the gospel. This guy is hearing the gospel, and notice, it says, the same heard Paul speaking, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Where did the guy get the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing by the gospel. Right? So Paul's preaching, this guy's hearing, and as he's listening, faith is coming into him. And by a word of knowledge, the Holy Ghost lets Paul know he's ready. And notice, Paul said with a loud voice. He didn't pray nothing. Notice this. He didn't go off and pray. Now you pray and fast before you go preach. That was extra right there. Pray and fast. Get ready before you go preach. Be prayed up. Be fasted up. And he saw that guy had faith to be healed. He just said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped. Bird legs and all. He leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, and we could go on here. They tried to heap all the praise on them and make gods out of them, and Paul had to bring them back around. He says, no, no, no. No, no. In fact, come on down to verse 15. It says, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these, by saying this, he scarcely restrained the people that they would not come and do sacrifice unto him. How does Dave say it? How much of the glory goes to God? All of the glory goes to him, see. But can you see this? This, when that man leapt and walked, that is the Lord confirming the word with signs following. No, it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. We all understand that, okay? Well, we somewhat understand that. But it's the Lord confirming the word with signs following. Paul, what's his job? Preach the gospel. In the audience, what's that guy's job? Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Then when faith comes and the command is given, then the Lord confirmed that word. And that man leaped and walked. And we're about to see a whole lot of that.